Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." So Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? "Father, save me from this hour?" No. It is for this reason that I have come to this hour. "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "The voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from this earth, will draw all people to myself." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. So if I had to describe 2018 with one word, I'd use the word unexpected. Back on New Year's Eve, I did not expect that we would have a flood in the church basement. When that famous ball dropped in New York City, I did not imagine that Puerto Ricans would still be without power today. When midnight struck on the 1st of January, I hadn't pondered that high school students would take a lead in gun control legislation. So far, for me, this year has been filled with surprises. And in today's reading from John, we have an opportunity to explore God's presence in the midst of those unexpected situations. Now, today's episode began in Jerusalem with two Greeks who had a simple request in my mind: to see Jesus. Now, that question, of course, in good church fashion, needed to be passed through committee, needed to go to one person and then to two more people, and then finally the question gets to Jesus. But then Jesus doesn't really answer the question. Instead, Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified," and a lot of other complicated stuff like John likes to say. But here's the thing. In the Gospel of John, we have been waiting for this moment. In John 2, we waited. In John 7, and again in John 7, and then in John 8, Jesus has consistently said, "Wait for it. The time of glory isn't here yet. Wait for it just a little longer. Wait for it." And then, finally, Jesus says, "The glory is here." But the glory we expected is different. As one author notes, it's not like Olympic glory or valedictorian glory. Rather, it's cross glory. It's suffering glory. It's obedience glory. In short, God's glory is surprisingly different from the world's form of glory. And that's not the only surprise in today's episode. Jesus also said that those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And what I just read is the correct version, not the way that I read it before. It's not future tense, those who love their life will lose it. It's those who love their life lose it, present tense. All of the words there are present tense. And I have to say that that grammatical sentence doesn't seem logical to me, but another way to kind of put it is that those who embrace the material things that they love have already destroyed their humanity. Yet those who structure their lives in God's values, namely the values of justice and truth and service and understanding, those individuals have true life today. And so, in John's gospel, Jesus did not only surprise us by inverting our understanding of glory and espousing a completely different lifestyle than we'd like to follow, but he also rejected a very commonplace response to death. I would have to say that most of us, including the Jesus that is portrayed in all the other gospels, would be afraid of death and suffering the execution on a cross. Does anybody want to admit to feeling like, do you understand what hanging on a cross would be? You would suffocate usually. You would be pounding the nails into the wrists and into the feet, and you would hang there and basically suffocate to death. I wouldn't wish that on even my enemy. But Jesus rejected the fear of losing his mortal and physical life because he knew that God was with him, and that God sent him to reveal that abundant life. That is, Jesus was sent to show something more than the usual symbols of life that this world offers, things like wealth and youth and power, but instead, what we come to understand from John's Jesus is that even in the darkest, loneliest, and most difficult moments of life, God can bring something good and beautiful. We discover that God is not only with us in those moments, but that God can use those moments for something good. Now, I have to say that the Gospel of John is my absolute least favorite gospel. And it's also a gospel that we need to be very careful with. There are many well-meaning Christians who have used John's words to make some inaccurate and disturbing theological claims. One of the greatest dangers in John's gospel is that with a very slight misreading, someone could come to believe that suffering is not actually suffering, but rather it is glory. And I need to make clear to you that that is not what John is saying. John bends over backwards to reveal God's unanticipated presence in the midst of suffering. John emphasizes that Jesus willingly stepped into a world of decay and materialism, a place that naturally by itself tends towards suffering and abuse, and he did all of that so that Jesus could reveal the presence of God within the despair. So if you don't understand all of that that I said, I'm going to sum this up here. In other words, while God does not desire suffering, nor does God cause suffering in the Gospel of John, what John wants to hammer home is that God can work through suffering for good. Do you see that small distinction? Because it's very, very important in John's logic. Go ahead, we're going to do a vote. Maybe on Easter I'll have you like text a vote in or something. But for now, you can just shake your head, yes, I understand the difference, no, I don't. Okay, we've got a lot of abstentions going on. Well, those of you who did vote are understanding it. So the idea is not that God causes suffering, And it's not that God desires suffering, but that God can work through instances of suffering to bring about good. It's a very slight distinction. It's very important. And it's very important as 1 week from today, we are going to begin the most holy week of our faith, which ends with the great 3 days, namely Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil. And during this sacred time, our expectations will be completely inverted. We'll walk into those services thinking that we have clarity of who this God is, but then we'll depart walking through muddied waters. You see, instead of glorious trophies and golden medals, we'll see glory at a wash basin with dirty feet and hanging on a cross. Instead of fighting for his life, Jesus will willingly offer himself without a struggle. And when we expect the powerful to finally see Jesus' true identity, we'll actually see him flogged and killed. And so today, in light of what will come next week, we are offered something amazing. In preparation for next week and also for the trials of life, we are reminded that God will unexpectedly reveal God's Spirit in the midst of terrible things. And so with this story, we are prepared for whatever may come. And so as we journey closer to Holy Week, I invite you to sit with this complexity. Try to avoid seeking to explain the events of next week and the weeks to come. Rather, approach the situation, looking for God's unexpected presence. And I have a hunch that if you try that out, you might just find that the Spirit is guiding your hand and guiding this congregation as we deal with the church's flooded basement. You might just see hope in the disaster response in Puerto Rico. And you might just realize that through traumatized teenage voices, we might just discover God's presence. Amen.